Live from Bromsgrove, this is BRMG Radio.
Bromsgrove Astronomical Society is Sue Dipple. Hello, Sue.
Oh, good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You keeping okay? Keeping busy?
Yes. Keeping busy. Getting a bit fed up with it all now, though.
Yeah, I think everybody is. I think.
Yes, that's right.
I think looking at the heavens above, it sort of passes time away, doesn't it? So tell us about the Bromsgrove Astronomical Society. How long has it been going?
Well, we've been in business for just over 12 years now, and started in 2008, started by three amazing Bromsgrove lads, and two of which are still members of the society today.
Yeah.
I took over the chairmanship 4 years ago, and I can tell you I had very big boots to fill there, because the guys who set this society up did a brilliant job, and we've hopefully encouraged the people of Bromsgrove to look at the night sky a little bit more closely.
The thing is, with this country, when it comes especially for astronomical events like watching shooting stars and whatnot, we can never guarantee that the clouds clear in time, can we?
You cannot. No, at the moment. I haven't seen the night sky for several nights now. I always say that amateur astronomers are some of the world's biggest optimists. You have to be be an amateur astronomer. Yes, that's right.
Does this explain why many astronomers sort of set up telescopes on mountain tops so they're above
the
clouds?
Indeed, it does.
Yeah.
Indeed it does, Phil, yes. There are a lot of remote telescopes available now for anybody to use who wants to. You have to pay to use them. But some of our members have used remote telescopes in not only just on mountaintops, not in remote in the UK, but in the rest of the world as well.
Of course, the internet's bringing things back even closer, isn't it? So you can log on to many webcams that that can see in the night sky what's going on. What interesting things are happening at the moment, Sue? Can you tell us?
Yes, I can. This is National Astronomy Week. Now, this happens every few years. It's all of this week until Sunday, 14th to the 22nd of November. And the idea is to promote public awareness of astronomy by using a notable event. Now, that notable event could be an eclipse or maybe a comet. This year, the notable event is the planet Mars, because Mars is closest to us and is the brightest than it has been for many years. And it won't be this bright again until 2030. And so National Astronomy Week is hoping to get people outside looking at the planet Mars, which is very easy to spot in the night sky, as long as you don't have any cloud present, of course.
Yes.
And it is starting to fade now. The reason it's its brightest, it's at its closest point to us, and it's right opposite the sun. So it's taking full sunlight during our nighttime, which means we get a really good view of the planet.
Now that's the one that's got like a reddish tinge to it, hasn't it?
That's exactly right, yes. It's at the moment, around about 9 o'clock at night, it's due south. But you can see it if you've got a good horizon as soon as it gets dark, and it will stay up all night. What you can also see in the early evening in the west, and they are quite low, so you need a good southern horizon, are the planets Jupiter and Saturn.
Yes,
as well.
I've been spotting those when I've been out walking. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Yes.
A fantastic sight, it really is.
Yes, indeed. Yes. The opposition, this is what Mars is at opposition. It's called opposition because it's opposite us, directly opposite us from the sun.
Yeah.
This is actually gone. It was in October, but it's still quite bright and it's still worth watching or looking out for. You know, if some of the early birds or some of the late people are out at night, late owls, then they can see Mars in the sky all night.
It's a shame, really, that we get such a lot of light pollution around here as well, isn't it? Otherwise,
we'd
be able to see a lot more out into the wilderness, so to speak.
I was about to say, planets as bright as Mars, and obviously Venus and Jupiter as well, you will see those even in light-polluted cities. They are so bright, you will see them.
Sometimes people get them mixed up for satellites as well. They sort of think,
satellites generally are moving. Yeah, satellites are generally moving. The International Space Station is the brightest one, of course. And you can find out when that pops over by looking online, and you can find out when the ISS is due next to pass over Worcestershire, which I've seen it many times. You just look it up and you stand outside the door and you think it's not going to hum, and of course it always does.
I always catch the ISS by accident, you know. I'm taking something out of the bins or I'm out in the back garden, or look up and all of a sudden there it
is.
Right,
yes.
Incredible.
Yes.
So there you go, lots of interesting things going on in the sky at the moment. Now, Bromsgrove Astronomical Society, when we're not in lockdown, how often does your group meet up?
Yes, we do. Normally, we would meet twice a month, on the first and the third Monday of the month. We're open to visitors, and we hope that these visitors will join as members at some point. We have about 60 members.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the moment, in fact, for 9 months, we haven't been able to have face-to-face meetings. And we would have normally held a public observing evening for National Astronomy Week so that we could invite the people of Bromsgrove to come along to the club, maybe listen to some talks, see some displays, and if it was clear, look through some telescopes at Mars or anything else that takes their fancy. But these are not normal times, Phil, as you are well aware.
Absolutely,
so what
yeah.
we've done, we've decided to take the astronomy to the people of Bromsgrove via modern media, and we have 4 pre-recorded lectures now on our website. One is, and they're all very general interest astronomy. The lighter side astronomy is, a little bit of humour there, just to show that astronomers aren't all geeks in bobble hats. The other one, the legacy of the Hubble Space Telescope, which I'm sure even non-astronomers have heard of the Hubble Space Telescope and the beautiful images that it takes. That's the story of how the telescope was built and about its problems that it had when it was first launched. We've got a talk which is a little bit more for the technical side of things, which is astrophotography without a telescope. So anybody that thinks that they don't have enough camera gear or telescopic gear to take a picture of the night sky, think again. And then as a little Christmas treat, we've got a talk at the Star of Bethlehem and what might have been that star. These talks are all presented by Dr. Steve Barrett, one of our members, and the astrophotography is also with Rob Dipple as well. And we thought that we'd put the Star of Bethlehem on. It's a little bit early, but I think we all deserve an early Christmas treat this year.
Well, I think everyone's starting to put the Christmas lights on around the houses now, aren't they? Very early.
I can understand why as well.
So can you sort of give us a little hint of what the Star of Bethlehem may have been? It wouldn't have been the ISS, would it?
It's definitely not the ISS, no. There are certain things it could have been. The talk explains it all, but it's mostly likely to be the conjunction of a couple of planets at the time.
Oh, interesting.
If you want to look at the night sky, the first thing you should get is a star chart. Now, you can get star atlases, and being an old-fashioned astronomer, I've got plenty of those. But, of course, it's all online now. And you can get digital star atlases, which you can download onto your digital device, your tablet, your phone, your computer. Some of them have to be paid for, but there are a lot out there which are free. And you can have a look, and it shows you the night sky in real time so that you can actually see what's up there exactly while you're looking. For example, I've got one in front of me now. If I press now for the time now, which is 9:20,
yeah.
I will get daylight on my tablet, of course, because it's daylight.
Uh-huh.
I will also see the sun on my tablet, but I can't see it out of my window. It's raining. But it will show you the night sky. It's a good idea, then. You can work out what might be up there for you to look at. So that's the first thing you need. The main thing you need, of course, is clear skies, which, as you rightly said earlier on, we don't get a lot of in this country. It seems to be particularly bad just at the moment. You can, of course, with these digital star atlases, if you like, you can actually wind them back in time, and you can wind them back 2,000 years.
Really? Blimey.
You can.
So you can see
yes.
what the sky was in the sky around that time.
Indeed.
That's amazing.
This is what the Star of Bethlehem talk will explain.
Yes.
But these recorded lectures, they're going to be available on our website for the rest of this week, plus a few extra days next week for people who maybe miss them. And they're all free to view. There's no charging involved.
Yeah.
Do you our website is broms-astro.org.uk.
Okay.
And if people just log on to the front page, there will be a link they can click to get to the 4 talks.
Absolutely brilliant. There's no charge at all whatsoever.
No.
Excellent. You've got a Facebook presence as well. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yes, we have, and Twitter, yeah.
Just a quick question, Sue, before we move on. How long have you been interested in the sky? Did you start at a very early age?
I did. I was a child, and my parents, of course, couldn't afford things like telescopes in those days. I managed mostly with books, and the books I managed mostly with were from the library. And that was, I read everything I could about astronomy. Of course, as the years have gone on, I kind of had dips and troughs. Getting married, having children, having boyfriend, that kind of, well, not in that order, of course, but Then of course, my interest started to wax again during the visit of Halley's Comet in 1986.
Oh, that was a brilliant, brilliant time.
And that's when I bought my first telescope. Yes, the comet itself wasn't that spectacular, but I've seen some fabulous sights in my telescope since.
Another comet that I can remember was back in the 90s. It was Hale-Bopp, wasn't it?
Hale-Bopp was comet of the century then, yes. That was a fantastic... that was one time when the optimism of astronomers paid off. The comet was in the sky for several weeks, and for two consecutive weeks we had clear skies every night.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. It was incredible.
Yes.
And not long ago, was it this year, we had another comet in the sky?
Comet NEOWISE, yeah.
What was that one called, sorry?
NEOWISE.
Oh, right, that's it.
They're usually named after the space probe that spots them for the first time these days.
And what's the next big comet we can expect to see?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? There are comets out there all the time, but they don't always come close enough for us to see from the Earth. In fact, the best ones are usually the ones that sneak up on us, like Hale-Bopp did.
Oh, right, okay, looking over our shoulder saying, here I am, yoo-hoo.
Yes, that's right. The websites will always tell you, the information is just out there these days. There's little point in referring your listeners to books. I think everything is online now. If you want to find out when the next big comet is due, then you can have a look there. But, you know, to get a really big, entertaining comet, we don't get those very often.
No, blimey. Okay. I read somewhere over the last couple of weeks we got some meteorites or shooting stars this
shooting
week.
Shooting stars.
Is that this week?
Well, yes, that's right. We're in the middle of the Leonids meteor shower at the moment.
Oh,
The peak was actually yesterday morning. If it was clear, yes, you should have been able to see some shooting stars. However, the peak is a short peak. There may be a few still around now, and they appear to radiant from the east, which is where Leo is at the moment. It's not rising. It's a spring constellation. So keep your eyes open if you're, like I said, a night owl or an early bird. And you may just see one or two shooting stars this week, but they are fading now.
Fantastic. Not to be mixed up with fireworks, which are still going off as well.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Sue, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thanks very much for joining us. We could talk all day about stars. I mean, would you come on the show again at some point soon?
Oh, I would think so, yes, if there's another big event.
Fantastic. We'll get something organised. We'll have a chat with somebody
about it. If you could organise clear skies as well, that would be even better.
Absolutely. Sue Dipple, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
That's a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Sue from the Bromsgrove Astronomical Society. Go on the Facebook page. You can find out all about the fantastic events they've got going online, OK? Go and have a look, and also on the website as well.
Online from Bromsgrove, this is BRMG Radio.